largest road comeback at halftime in the history of the franchise. And the final score, the Jets 31 and the Browns 28.
Live from Calandra's Italian Village in Caldwell, New Jersey, it's Inside the Jets on 98.7 ESPN. Here's Larry Hardesty and Eric Allen.
And we are presented by EY, as we are every week. Thank you for joining us here at Calandra's Italian Village in Caldwell, New Jersey. Special thanks to our folks here. Give yourselves a round of applause. Let everybody know you're in the house tonight. And also, we've got some folks on watching us on NYJets.com, which are very familiar. They always see EA. He's all over. He's talking to Marty Lyons, talking to players. EA's all over NYJets.com. And, of course, listening to us on 98.7 ESPN New York. A little later in the show, we'll take your phone calls at 1-800-919-3776. Both our guests are here, so that's a good thing. Lorenzo Malden and Rontez Miles will join us in the hour. So we got lots to do, EA. Let me just say this. Yesterday, you talk about a tale of two halves. That was the example of a tale, the best example of a tale of two halves. I can't wait to see if they will tell us what really went on in the locker room at halftime. Because whatever it is, they should start it at the beginning of the game and just do it throughout. Because they were just a totally energized team in the second half.
That's exactly what I was thinking, Larry. Wouldn't it have been great to have been a fly on the wall in the Jets locker room after they go down to the Cleveland Browns 20-7 at halftime? It was just a listless performance. They didn't have a lot of energy, not a lot of spark. Cleveland came out, took control of that ball game, went right down the field. Josh McCown making the start for the Browns, the veteran quarterback, gets them in the end zone. Before you know it, it's 10-0. And then the Jets gave up the late score before the end of the half, which oftentimes is a backbreaker. And Bob Wischus in the voice of the Jets mentioned that here on the beginning of the show, is that the Jets have never came back from a 13-point deficit or greater than that in franchise history. You go back to 1960. This team opened up as the New York Titans way back in the day. So they were facing what looked like, even though you're facing the Cleveland Browns, it looked like an insurmountable deficit the way the Jets were playing. But fortunately, they came back in the second half, and they were a different ball team. And you look at some of the plays that I think about early on were first possession, Ryan Fitzpatrick throws a ball that looks like it's going to be intercepted by Browns defensive back. Quincy Enunwa breaks it up. He plays defensive back, comes up with the PD. And then 10 plays later, Quincy Enunwa is in the end zone. He would not be denied. Eludes four would-be tacklers. It's 20-14. Then Fitzpatrick dials up long distance again to Enunwa over the middle. 57-yard gain. Before you know it, the Jets are in control of this ball game. And then what you saw defensively was a totally different unit. They gave up a ton of yards, big plays down the field in the first half. And again, for the second straight week, here's the formula. Get off the field on third down. Get a couple turnovers. It was something else. I've been covering this team for 16 years. I've not seen a lot of games like that in my career so far. But the Jets, a lot of people are going to give them heck for that first half performance. At the end of the day, they count them up after 16 games. They needed a victory. They got it, and they look good doing it in the second half. Now, where do you go from here? Can this team bottle it all up like you're talking about and play 60 minutes?
Yeah, and the other thing, too, for me, it was we hear a lot. We hear coaches every week. We hear coordinators every week. And EA, what do they talk about? Execution. Oh, if we just executed. We got to execute. But you look at the first half, they didn't execute. You had missed tackles. You had miscommunication. You had all the things that people are talking, missed blocks. So you had all the things that coaches talk about. It was right there for you to see. So when coaches and players talk about, no execution, that's what you saw in the first half. And then in the second half, you saw the extra blocking. You saw the holes open up for Matt Forte. You saw in the first half to play with Bilal Powell going into the end zone. So it is a difference. When you see execution, you understand what it is. When you see it and the plays work, That's what execution is.
You know, a couple of my big takeaways when you're talking about execution is this team has had to adjust offensively without Eric Decker.
Yep.
Now what we're continuing to see is the emergence of the aforementioned Quincy Enunwa. He had the long catch and run for the touchdown against the Baltimore Ravens, and then he was a force in the second half against the Cleveland Browns. We mentioned Forte and Brandon Marshall. Those are like the two vets. Then you got the change of pace guys in Enunwa and Bilal Powell. You mentioned Powell. He got the Jets into the end zone, and he provides some explosion. He had more than 75 yards rushing, along with Forte's 82 yards on the ground. That's the first time since 2012 that the Jets had two backs with over 75 yards rushing. And you mentioned execution. You know, they just really look like a different team defensively as well. They took it to the Browns. They got after McCown. They bottled up Isaiah Crowell throughout the ball game. That's something you can count on this Jets defense each and every week, is they are going to shut you out on the ground. You have to beat them through the air. And the Browns, give them credit, they were beating the Jets through the air in the first half. But it was a different story in the second half as they contained guys like Terrell Pryor and company, and they got after Josh McCown.
And got a couple of interceptions.
Yep.
And they, once again, for the second week, not only did they get the turnovers, but they converted those turnovers into points.
That's right. That's the formula. We saw it against Baltimore in that decisive third quarter when they had a pair of interceptions that eventually led to 10 points. And again, here in Cleveland, those turnovers led to 10 points. And at the end of the day, the final score says 31-28. The Jets did not turn the football over. Now, Ryan Fitzpatrick, everybody at home, including Fitz himself, when he watched the tape today, he was none too pleased from what he saw over those first 30 minutes, completed three passes. But conversely, in the second half, started to get it going, and you showed what – Fitzpatrick really showed his true DNA. Count me out. It's 20-7. Things aren't going right. I'm going to come back. You know, he's got that fighter mentality, and I think the team really showed a lot, not because who they were playing, but they could have packed it in, and it showed you what they're really made of inside. Now it's two wins in a row. I don't care how you got here. Bottom line is you do have momentum. Big divisional game against the Miami Dolphins. If you get this one, then you're all of a sudden 4-5, and you got the L.A. Rams coming to your place before the bye, and we'll see what happens. But right now, the Jets have to focus on playing 60 minutes of ball. How can you start early in these ball games? Because they fell behind against the Baltimore Ravens 10-0 as well, and they got away against that. You might be able to get away with those starts against the Ravens and the Cleveland Browns, but some of these teams down the line, the New England Patriots, when you play them twice, you're not going to be able to get away with that, and Todd Bowles knows that. But you're right. Like we talked about at the beginning of the show. God, I was in that locker room last night post-game, and everybody was talking about different speeches made. I wonder what Todd said, no doubt, to the players. But Quincy Enunwa was saying Carl Durrell, a soft-spoken wide receivers coach for the Jets, spoke. Darrell Revis, a guy who we had on inside the Jets here last week, who made the speech after the Jets defeated the Baltimore Ravens. He told everybody, hey, don't forget this feeling. He made a speech. Todd Bowles said today, hey, Reeve gave up some plays in the first half. We saw Terrell Pryor going off. But again, in the second half, Pryor was contained. And Revis made some more plays. The defensive backfield made more plays. Marcus Gilchrist coming up with an interception. Lorenzo Maldon, who is here in the house tonight with his first interception of his career. And then special teams did their job as well. How about Lachlan Edwards pinning the Browns deep late in that ball game with the Jets up one score, 28-20, and young rookie Justin Burris getting down there and pinning them back, and that eventually led to Lorenzo's interception.
Yeah.
Complimentary football.
It was.
And that's how easy it is.
That's what you got to do to win. That's the formula. Yeah, you know how quick it is, how easy it is. Before we go to break, let's talk about these young receivers. And once again, Peak and Anderson. Peak with a huge third down play on a drive early in the game. And then Anderson making some plays again. We talk about Quincy Enunwa, but these other guys, Peak and Anderson, EA, the more they play, you're starting to see them seize the opportunity. Look, nobody wants Eric Decker to be hurt. That's obvious. But it's about, and Brandon Marshall talked about it, it's about these young guys stepping up. Who's the next man up? Who's going to take some of the load off of him? Enunwa's done it, and Anderson and Peak have done it as well.
Yeah, Robbie, three catches, 31 yards, and you mentioned Peak, who's played very well on special teams. We'll talk to Rontez Miles about that when he gets up here. He made a hell of a reception up the sideline on a third down play that helped the Jets get going. And then you had guys step up who have to step up when you have injuries. A guy like Wesley Johnson, I asked Breno Giacomini about that today on the conference call. He started at center. Breno said, I think that was the best game that guy played in the National Football League. You go over on the other side of the ball, Julian Stanford, he's doing some nice things next to David Harris as the Jets' depth has been tested. And remember, the Jets also didn't play without with the services of Buster Skrine. He was out of the ball game. So Marcus Williams started. He had to move inside in sub packages. So you got Daryl Roberts on the outside. So you got different guys contributing as well. But to your question, yeah, the young receivers are fun to watch. They really are. Robbie Anderson can fly and Peak. He's got that big body. He can box guys out. He goes up and high points the ball. And I love what I've seen out of him on special teams as well.
Yeah. A lot of good things in the future, boy. And see, with these young receivers and speed, that's what you love. And the mixture of that speed with the veteran leadership of Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker when he comes back, it's tough to beat.
And the run game, Larry.
Oh, yeah.
The run game in the last 2 weeks has really stood out. The Jets took it to the Ravens on the ground, and again, for the second consecutive week, on paper, that's what we thought. They could take advantage of this Browns rush defense, and they certainly did that. That helps everything. Fitz had a tough first half. He came back in the second half, played better, and then defensively, you know, different unit in the second half. And I'm really excited to see what both Lorenzo Malden and Rontez Miles say about what happened with the defense in the second half, because it was a different unit out there.
All right, let's find out. We'll do that in a second. But first, Jet fans, it's time to COOK with the JETS. Season 4 of the Jets Cooking School, presented by Chase, continues Saturday, November 12th with a make and take barbecue class. For the full season lineup and the register, visit ICE.edu/Jets. You mentioned it, EA. He recorded his first interception yesterday. The pride of Louisville, Lorenzo Malden, will join us on Inside the Jets here on 98.7 ESPN.
They couldn't play football without us. We built this stadium. You couldn't tailgate without us. We probably built the road that got you here. Most of all, we promote economic development. That means investments in infrastructure and construction to provide opportunities for developers, union contractors, and members of Operating Engineers Local 825. We're ELEC, the Engineers Labor Employer Cooperative. We build the infrastructure New Jersey and the Jets rely on.
I knew at a young age that insurance was in my DNA. When other kids were starting lemonade stands, I was reviewing their insurance risks. So I joined Selective's team of specialists and spent years honing my skills. Now I spot risks, offer unique insurance options, and respond quickly to customers' needs. Learn about us and our auto, home, business, and flood insurance solutions. Don't you deserve peace of mind? Find the diamond at Selective.com.
Hey, football fans, support your Jets on the road as they travel to play their division rival, Miami Dolphins, on November 6th with an official fan travel package from PrimeSport.com, the official fan travel partner of the New York Jets. PrimeSport.com will make all the plays you need for tickets, hospitality, parties, hotels, and more. Nothing beats being there live. Book your Jets travel package against the Dolphins at PrimeSport.com today and get the ultimate game day experience.
GEICO presents Unanswerable Questions.
Can a person daydream at night?
Why aren't eyebrows considered facial hair? Or the most perplexing of them all, why doesn't everyone switch to GEICO when they could save 15% or more on car insurance? But you could be a part of the answer by switching to GEICO and saving hundreds for yourself. Money you could put toward a campaign for eyebrows to be properly recognized as the facial hair they are.
GEICO, the answer to savings. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Calandra's has been synonymous with great Italian food in northern New Jersey for over 50 years. With three award-winning restaurants, 20 minutes from MetLife Stadium, Cucina Calandra, Calandra's Mediterranean Grill, and Il Vecchio Cafe are all great options before or after a game. As an official partner of the New York Jets, we offer 20% off on game day at any of our locations when you show your Jets Rewards card or ticket. Each with family-friendly atmospheres, our restaurants offer unique menus from a la carte to family style, along with gluten-free options. Find out more on calandras.net.
Hey, Jet fans, everyone loves to stay connected, but the New Jersey Motor Vehicle Commission would like to remind you that texting or talking while you drive is not only dangerous, it's against the law in New Jersey. It can cost you money, your license, or even someone's life. If you're behind the wheel, please put down the phone and just drive. Get the facts and share your thoughts at justdrive.com. This message brought to you by the New Jersey Motor Vehicle Commission.
Microsoft Surface is the official tablet of the NFL. While NFL coaches and players use Surface Pro 4 this season, fans at home can show their fandom with the same device. Now available, the Surface Special Edition NFL Type Covers. And for a limited time, buy a Surface Pro 4 and any NFL Type Cover and get 15% off NFL Game Pass and a chance to win Super Bowl 51 tickets. Visit surface.com/NFL to learn more. Get your Surface at a Microsoft store or online today. Must be U.S. resident, 18 or older, and January 1st, 2017. See website for official rules.
Football is back, and if you love fantasy sports, there's only one place you want to play: FanDuel. FanDuel packs a full season of excitement into just 1 week. So what are you waiting for? Have all the fantasy that football has to offer. FanDuel. Be sports rich. Try FanDuel now. New users who deposit will get five free entries to 50-50 NFL beginner contests, one per week for 5 weeks. Just go to FanDuel.com and use the code EMPIRE. That's FanDuel.com, code EMPIRE. Void where prohibited.
Back to throw from the end zone. McCown throws it underneath right. Karam's up in the air, and on a dive, it's a Jets interception. Lorenzo Maldon on the Karam gets a pick off of the deflected Josh McCown pass.
Inside the Jets is presented by EY, building a better working world, and by FanDuel. Have all the fantasy that football has to offer. Be sports rich. Now here's Jets insider Eric Allen and your host Larry Hardesty.
And we welcome you back to Calandra's Italian Village here in Caldwell, New Jersey, where you can follow the Jets on Instagram at NYJets. This is where Jet fans like you get photos and videos of your favorite players and access you won't get anywhere else. EA, let's welcome our next guest who was introed by the voice of the Jets, Bob Schusen.
Jets outside linebacker Lorenzo Maldon here at Calandra's in Caldwell, New Jersey. Thank you for joining us here on Inside the Jets. So, I mean, let's not bury the lead then. Can you take us through that play from your vantage point? And I got to imagine in the locker room, you thanked Kelvin Pryor for an assist.
Yeah, most definitely.
First career interception.
Yeah, first one, not the last. But, it was a play where I pretty much had to stunt inside, and I didn't pretty much get to where I was supposed to be because of the center, Irving. And we're, you know, throughout the week, our coach is always telling us to run to the ball. If you run to the ball, good things happen. And after McCown threw the ball, I turned around. I see Kelvin Pryor. He hit Duke Johnson, yep. And the ball popped up. I kind of blacked out for a second. I was like, oh, I'm close. And I knew if I would have just attempted to run, I wouldn't have caught it. So I just go for it, and there's the pop ball.
Look at that.
You Louisville guys stick together.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Most definitely.
Now, those were key points because, absolutely, bottom line, Jets are up 28-20 at that point. Mm-hmm. the Browns scored a late touchdown, so that set up the decisive points in the game, if you think about it, with Nick Folk tacking on a field goal and gave the Jets that cushion, that 11-point cushion.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Lorenzo, you were telling us that this is your first interception, like, ever.
Yeah.
Like, all phases of football, ever.
Yes.
So, where's the football now, and where is it going?
The football right now is in the equipment room getting lathered up a little bit and with getting all fixed up and stuff for me, and it's going to go on my mantle at home.
Nice.
Two takeaways for the Jets defense for a second consecutive week in the second half. Larry and I were talking about it, and I was in a locker room with you guys after the ball game. What people at home and people here at Calandra's want to know is, what happened at halftime? The bottom line is, you guys were a different unit. It can't just all be attitude, can it?
It's mainly attitude. I can honestly say that. It's just the whole thing of coming out and wanting the will to play. We came out dead. The guys were, you know, kind of upset. We came into the locker room. Coach pretty much reiterated to us that it was all attitude. You have to want to win. And a couple of guys spoke with each other. We all spoke with each other and basically told ourselves that we're not playing the way we're supposed to play. We're not playing Jet football. And go out in the second half, and that's when everything turned on.
Was there a point in the first half, because I'm in the press box, I was amazed. Was there a point in the first half where you guys looked at each other and were like, what is going on out here?
Yeah, most definitely. When you get David Harris looking at you and you get David Harris looking at the defense, it's like, what are we doing? And, you know, it's just, we all just see that, and it's just like, all right, yeah, it makes everybody else think too, like, what are we doing? Like, we just had last week, we only, you know, gave up 6 yards and running, and we're trying to figure out, like, all right, what did we do then that we can do now and change it? And again, we went in the second half and did it.
Lorenzo, the half is not only about attitude, but it's about physical adjustments and schemes and some of the other things that you do that you see that when you look at the film and you look at those pictures that people see. Like, what are these guys looking at? You look at those pictures that you have, that things that you see are getting beat by, you go and make the adjustment to them. So what were some of those things that you saw that, you know what, we're getting beat here, the non-executing things that we talk about when coaches sit down and talk to the media and say, we didn't execute here, we didn't execute there. What were some of the things that changed other than mentally?
You know, just like you said, the whole physical attribute of being out there. Okay, mentally, we know that we have this, we have that, we know our assignments and everything. But it's like, are we executing the assignment to the best of our ability physically? So, you know, we come to the sideline and we see that, okay, they got a big run here, they got a big pass here. What can we do differently to prevent that? And then go out and do it and say, okay, yeah, now they can't do that anymore because they know that we know how to stop it. So now that gives the other coaches the opportunity to try and change up what they do, and after a while it runs out. So, I mean, again, we came out in the second half, so that pretty much showed it, that we, you know, pretty much came out and stopped everything that they gave us.
Handled your business.
Handled our business.
This team has a lot of talent up front in the front seven, so you can be very multiple, very flexible. You played, we were just talking about it during the commercial break, you played a season high in terms of snaps on Sunday against the Cleveland Browns. At what point during the week do you know, hey, I'm going to be a big part of the game plan? Because depending on who you guys are playing, you might play more 4-3, you might play more 3-4, and your position with this team right now, obviously, is playing outside linebacker. So when you go into more 3-4 looks, probably means more Malden on the field.
Yeah, for the past 2 weeks, I've been getting a lot more reps in practice, and I've just been telling myself that the coaches are starting to believe in me now, and now I got to do what I got to do to, you know, make them keep believing in me. So setting the edge, making sure that the ball doesn't get outside of me, getting into my drops faster, getting involved with the defense more, making more plays, getting to the quarterback. You know, it's like I said in the beginning, it's a mentality thing, and we have to understand that I can be a big part of this defense if I want to. It's all about want to. So if I go out there and do what I do, Todd Bowles, he'll, you know, keep me on the field.
Lorenzo Malden's our guest. It's Inside the Jets, Larry Horst and Eric Allen. Lorenzo, a lot was expected of you based on how you played last year. You talked about it. Now, what is the mindset for you to stay ready? Even though you don't get the opportunities early, you don't get down on yourself. So what do you do to stay ready so when you do get those opportunities, you're able to execute and do what you need to do on the field?
My coach, Mark Collins, he always tells us over in our room with the outside linebacker room, you have a role. You have a role on the team, and play that role to the best of your ability. So, you know, of course, coming in last year, I was a third down player coming in trying to just get sacks for to get us off on third downs. And coming into this season, I was expected to, you know, be a top guy for the defense. And, of course, we have great guys. We have a great front seven, and we stuck with the 4-3. So, again, I was that guy to come in on third downs and get after the quarterback. It was a slow start for me. And as a pass rusher, you have to get in the groove. So I'm basically telling myself this over and over and over again. My time is going to come. My time is going to come. And, you know, I'm just going out there playing my role. And at the end of the day, my time came, and I presented myself, you know, worthy of playing in the 3-4.
When they're making the transition to the National Football League, I talk to them often about biggest differences between rushing the passer on the college level and then coming to the pro level. And everybody talks about secondary pass rush moves. How much have you learned? You talked about Mark Collins before, as far as the different moves and, hey, listen, you got to be ready for 1, 2, or 3 because you just can't rely on one thing at this level.
Mm-hmm. With guys in the league, just from last night playing against Joe Thomas.
Yeah, yep.
Joe Thomas.
One of the best tackles in the National Football League.
You have to study. It's like, you know, going into a game in college, you pretty much just go in and play your game. But it's not like that in the league. You have to adjust because these guys like Joe Thomas, they can switch up their sets. They can do all different types of things to stop you from getting past them. And when you study these guys, you have to understand what their weaknesses are and what their strengths are. And first, second, and third pass rush moves are needed to get past these guys because they're the best of the best. And pretty much in the league, everybody's the best of the best.
What was that experience like going toe-to-toe with Thomas?
It was my first time because last year, of course, when playing against the Browns, I, you know, passed out or whatever. It was pretty fun, actually, to be honest, because it was sometimes I would beat him, sometimes I wouldn't, and of course the ball was out every time, but it was fun because it's not only getting us both better, but it's also helping me as a pass rusher being able to understand how these guys think as the guys that's been in the league for a long time.
You kind of touched on it, Lorenzo. The frustration of the quarterback getting rid of the ball quick. Just when you're ready to get there, you're almost there, and the ball is gone.
It's very frustrating. I mean, I know as a pass rusher, you want to get the sacks, but the pressures are just as more important as a sack. I'm not getting there every time, but literally, if I'm in his space, that means he has to either pop the ball up or he has to get rid of it quickly. So just being able to be in his space and show my presence, that's all. I just look at it as a world of pressure.
The Jets are represented by 4 Louisville products. Lorenzo Malden, of course, Kelvin Pryor. They combine for the Jets takeaway there in the fourth quarter. And then on the offensive side of the ball, Breno Giacomini and Bilal Powell. How close of a quartet are you guys?
First off, I like to say, Louisville, we produce. We're actually really close. Actually, yeah? on the bye week, we're thinking about getting a jet to go back down there. So that's going to be pretty fun. But you know, we're close guys because we pretty much play for the same program, and it's like that with pretty much everybody. You know, when it comes to somebody playing, but because we got a couple of Clemson guys on the team, got a couple of Alabama guys on the team, so we're not as close knit. You know, hey, we're going to hang out.
Right.
You coming? Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, we know each other, so yeah. It's not a hard thing to, you know, decipher over.
Lorenzo, thanks for stopping by.
No problem at all.
Come see us again and bring the more interceptions when you come back.
Okay.
All right? That's Lorenzo Maldon, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks, Lorenzo.
Hey, Jet fans, does your child have what it takes to be the next Jets Kid Reporter? Well, visit JetsKidReporter.com to find out. We'll take your phone calls at 1-800-919-3776 a little bit later in the show. But up next, we'll talk to Rontez Miles. He'll tell us what's going on in the secondary, also what's going on special teams. And he's the guy that's always smiling. He's always happy, always has fun. Am I right, Lawrence?
Lorenzo always has
fun, doesn't he?
Yeah.
One of Brant Boyer's Energizer bunnies.
Always smiling. Always smiling. He makes me nervous when he's not smiling.
Like right now.
Like right now. We'll talk to Lorenzo Miles next on 98.7 ESPN.
They couldn't play football without us. We built this stadium. You couldn't tailgate without us. We probably built the road that got you here. Most of all, we promote economic development. That means investments in infrastructure and construction to provide opportunities for developers, union contractors, and members of Operating Engineers Local 825. We're ELEC, the Engineers Labor Employer Cooperative. We build the infrastructure New Jersey and the Jets rely on.
At Selective, insurance is our business. For us, it goes beyond who we are. It's in our DNA.
My car was broken into and my laptop was stolen. I didn't know what to do. Scott and Selective were there to help. He walked me through every step of the process. Now I tell everyone about Selective's wonderful service.
We create diamond moments like this for our customers every day. Want to experience your own? Visit Selective.com to find an agent near you.
Hey, football fans, support your Jets on the road as they travel to play their division rival, Miami Dolphins, on November 6th with an official fan travel package from PrimeSport.com, the official fan travel partner of the New York Jets. PrimeSport.com will make all the plays you need for tickets, hospitality, parties, hotels, and more. Nothing beats being there live. Book your Jets travel package against the Dolphins at PrimeSport.com today and get the ultimate game day experience.
Geico brings you endorsements from the backup to the backup punter.
I'm the backup punter to the backup punter. The only time I'm on the field is when I'm headed to the locker room. Do I get high fives? Nope. Sign autographs? Nuh-uh. My jersey? It's never been washed. I'm just a kicker kicking it on the sidelines. But I did score on my car insurance by switching to Geico. They saved me money faster than Coach could say, Jenkins, you're in. Even though Coach would never say that.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Play action. Dropping back is McCown. Looks downfield. Heaves one for Pryor. Overthrows him. And it is intercepted by Marcus Gilchrist. He gets up. Hasn't been touched. Runs right to the 40. Gets to the 50-yard line. Out of bounds at the Browns 45.
Inside the Jets is presented by EY, building a better working world, and by FanDuel. Have all the fantasy that football has to offer. Be sports rich. Now here's Jets insider Eric Allen and your host Larry Hardesty.
Welcome back to Calandra's Italian Village here in Caldwell, New Jersey. Presented Inside the Jets, presented by our friends at EY. And EA, another great afternoon for the Jet defense, especially in the second half. More turnovers. Todd Bowles has told us all season, turnovers come in bunches. Two last week, two this week.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And let's bring in a member of the Jets secondary right now, the Tasmanian Devil.
Yeah.
Guy who is a weapon on special teams as well. Let's welcome in Rontez Miles here.
How you doing?
To Calandra's.
Thanks for having me.
Tez.
Yo.
Hey, it's Halloween.
Hey.
Did you have a favorite Halloween story you can share in the air?
Oh, wow. I love Halloween.
But, yeah?
Story?
Favorite outfit you wore.
Favorite outfit?
Yeah.
Okay, I've been, I think I've seen it was online. My ex-girlfriend had a mascara kit, and she kind of painted me a goatee, mustache, everything, sideburns, and kind of was went unrecognized for a while. Like, it was me because, you know, I have no hair. So it was that's probably my best costume, though, for all of
I like that.
Did you fool anybody?
A couple people. Believe it was me. Yeah, it was good.
Montez, your role is just fascinating to me, and we've talked about it when you were here last year as well. And that is, you're getting more and more reps in the safety spot. You're getting more and more reps on special teams where you really made your mark. How much fun is that to get all those reps and to be, go from special teams to safety? And the other part of it is the change in attitude, because as a, when you're on special teams, you're going down like a madman. You just ready to, first, you're hitting anything that moves.
Yeah, it's different.
And secondary, you get out of the way before you start hitting folks.
Yeah, definitely. First of all, it's a blessing, and it's fun to be able to have, be able to contribute that much to a game. And it's just, the feeling's amazing, but you definitely have to...
No, go ahead.
You definitely have to change your mindset from special teams to defense, because special teams, you're right, it's a full speed, it's a fast thing. Everything is about speed and power on special teams, and on defense is more so about your mental aspect and adjusting the formations and making checks and communicating. So you got to be able to click on and off that that kill switch, but I kind of don't really think about it. Just go out there and try to stay focused and just play fast. So.
How much do you love the physicality of football? I know people are going to say that's a bad question. Everybody likes the physicality of football if they're going to put the pads on. But you seem to thrive on contact. Like, you're not a part of the game until you get that big lick in, and then you start get going.
I kind of make that joke with my coach. Coach Dana, or D-back coach.
Joe Dana,
In camp, we got, like, inside drills where you run and hit. And then you go do the covering drills. He had me doing covering drills the first week or two. Now, like, I gotta hit somebody to get going, like, to get in my mode. So, you know what I mean? I don't know what it is. I just grew up like that. I've been playing football since I was 6 years old. Like, I used to play with my older brothers. Like, me and my brother would be 8 years old playing with 12-year-old guys. You know what I mean? So we was used to always being handled roughly and playing aggressive. And it's the part of the game. 90% of the game, you're either tackling or hitting somebody. You know what I mean? So it kind of goes with it. And I feel like that's something that if you can bring to your game and still play well, it helps. I'm scared a couple people.
Oh, yeah, certainly. Watching you fly around there.
Absolutely. How much fun do you have playing football?
That's all I know. That's all I love since I was 8. You can ask my brother, my cousin, my best friend here. They've been around me my whole life, and they could tell you since I was a kid, that's all I ever did, all I ever knew. So I knew since I was like 8 years old that I'd be a professional football player in my head. So I always, it's like death without it. So that's all I know.
But it's all about the story for me. So, and this story will never get old. You got to tell people right now who are listening, maybe in their cars or here at Calandra's eating dinner, how you made it to the National Football League, what school you went to, your early experiences as a professional, how you got signed and then got moved around and things like that. Start it.
I'll try to be brief with it. Missed 2 years after high school. I played an all-star game in the Big 33, which was in 2007. The next time I touched a football field after high school would be 2009. So I went to Ohio to Kent State. It was a prop. That didn't work out. Came back to Pennsylvania, went to community college for a whole nother year. Had to take an extra summer class course just to get qualified to play my first professional. I mean, my first freshman year of college.
Yeah.
And 4 years at Cal. 3 out of 4 years been defensive player of the year.
Hold on. Not Cal Berkeley.
Oh, yeah. D2, California, Pennsylvania.
California, Pennsylvania, folks. Go ahead.
Smaller school, 45 minutes away from Pittsburgh. So I've been close to home my whole career leading up until now. And after that, I had success at Cal. Got invited to the NFL Combine, which was a blessing, an all-star game. Got into the NFL. I tore my hip in OTAs. Tore the labrum in my hip. I could have, you know, you could easily, like, either take a settlement or try to, like, get the repair. But I decided to play through it, try to make the team. I've been blessed to get on the practice squad that year and got activated for one game. Second season, I get activated the ending of the season and I almost lose my leg, compartment syndrome. So I had emergency surgery right on the spot, right after practice, the same day I got activated to play that game. Missed the rest of that year. last year, came in with the new coaches. I think I had an amazing preseason. From my standpoint, and got cut again, got brought back. Sat through a couple transitions with the defense, and I got my opportunity, and I've been playing ever since. So, small story short.
I remember that first start. And you gained a lot of fans. Unfortunately, it wasn't a loss, but all over the place. MetLife Stadium, Thursday night, prime time for everybody to see all your peers against the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
What did that mean to you, that first start? Because I get goosebumps just thinking about you being out there because nobody could slow you down.
Oh, that was one of the best feelings of my life, man. That was a lot of respect to Todd Bowles and everybody up in the coaching staff to even have faith in me and giving me the opportunity to play and have my first career start Thursday night against my old former coach. Yep. So it was a lot of feelings. And if you seen the game, you could tell I was pumped the whole game, man. So
He looked like a linebacker and a safety. And he was ready to play defensive line as well.
it's unexplainable how good it felt, man. And without that game, I probably wouldn't be here today. So Coach Bowles always told me he was so impressed how I came in for my first career start and being able to play. And you figured I got hurt ending of the last season, so I haven't tackled or did that much stuff like leading up to that point. So I was kind of just like rusty a little bit and up, but it was amazing. Definitely.
But the best part about that was you had the opportunity to study the playbook, so you knew the plays.
I knew the plays, yeah.
And so now this year, how much more comfortable are you with Todd Bowles' defense in the second year?
I'm very comfortable, man. And you can always get better. There's always learning to be done. It's a system that could change. He adds a lot of new plays. He mixes things up. He changes packages up. So it's a lot of stuff you can always learn. But definitely comfortable. I'm able to play fast, and I can tell the difference between last year to now. So I can step in whenever needed, free or strong. If they need me to play, I feel like I'm able to get in there and keep the pace going for the guys.
You are a prideful group, and there's smart dudes in the defensive backfield.
Yes, there is.
Can you explain giving up the vertical passing plays Sunday against the Browns, and then what happened in the second half, the change?
Halftime was real, man. We went in there, and there's a lot of, sometimes you got to look each other in the face and speak your mind, and it could be bad, it could be ugly. Sometimes it don't matter how it gets done, but sometimes you have to sit down and be honest with each other. And we knew that the game shouldn't have been the way it was. And Todd even said it, like, don't come back in this locker room without a win. Like we already stress that every week, but that was the message at halftime. Like, we knew who we are and what we have to do. We knew it shouldn't have been that score, so there's no way we couldn't have went out there and finished that game the way we did.
Scheming-wise in the backfield, though. What,
there wasn't nothing wrong.
No?
Just got to make some plays. Yeah, it was a great catch by Terrell Pryor, on the deep, the first one they got, but it's gonna happen. Them guys get paid too. They're great athletes. They're gonna make plays too. But it's all about how you finish. And most important stat is the win.
That's right.
Definitely.
Rontez, how tough has this been? So many road games early in the season.
I mean,
this team hasn't been home a lot.
Yeah.
They've only had three home games. What's that mentality like? You pull the rope tight and say we're gonna be road warriors and go out there and do the best we can until we get home.
And they're all good teams.
Yeah.
Playoff teams from last season. A lot of good games we've been having, and I think it's prepared us for the stretch we got to go through now mentally to go through that, and we don't want that feeling again. We don't want that taste again. So we're in a good pace right now. We just got built off last week, and it's been crazy. Like the schedule in the away games, I kind of looked at the beginning of the year like, wow. But it's a test of our character, and I think we're doing well.
Well, you get a chance to go to Miami in November,
yeah.
So that's okay. Hey, after eight games now, under a new special teams coordinator, Brant Boyer, how do you think you all are coming together? Because you are a key cog on that unit and on a number of those units that Brant Boyer has thrown out there.
He's a smart coach, man, and I give a lot of credit to the fact that he played for so many years and he was a special team ace himself. So
he was back in Cleveland yesterday.
Yeah.
You know that was probably special for him.
He wanted to get that one bad, too.
Yeah.
And man, it's so much much stuff you can learn from a former player, you know what I mean? And you can just tell the stuff that I learned from him. And this is my fourth special teams coaching 4 years, and they all been good coaches. But I just tend to pick up easier when dealing with Coach Boyer and them. But when you play, you can be more realistic with certain things, like how things have to be approached. He's trying to match us up best to our ability. So sometimes you might be blocking the defensive end. He might switch it up that week, so or you'll have a guy you assess. So he's smart, too. He also know to put the guys in situations so we can make plays on special teams. So,
hey, Rontez, listen, good luck, man, rest of the season.
Appreciate
thanks for stopping by.
Good seeing you, Ty.
Keep smiling.
I like the red.
Keep smiling.
Hey, red's my favorite color. Appreciate you,
Rontez Miles.
Thank you.
Here's a word from Selective Insurance. They are your solution for auto, home, business, and flood insurance. Visit Selective.com today and find an agent near you. Selective response is everything. All right, it's your time. 1-800-919-3776. You get to line up and join us inside the Jets. Larry Harstein and Eric Allen will join you at Calandra's Restaurant next on 98.7 ESPN.
They couldn't play football without us. We built this stadium. You couldn't tailgate without us. We probably built the road that got you here. Most of all, we promote economic development. That means investments in infrastructure and construction to provide opportunities for developers, union contractors, and members of Operating Engineers Local 825. We're ELEC, the Engineers Labor Employer Cooperative. We build the infrastructure New Jersey and the Jets rely on.
At Selective, insurance is our business. For us, it goes beyond who we are. It's in our DNA.
2 days of rain led to a flood in our house. Tim was quick to respond and led us through the claims process. He even showed us how to prevent future losses. Tim and Selective's personal level of service provided comfort when we needed it the most.
We create diamond moments like this for our customers every day. Want to experience your own? Visit Selective.com to find an agent near you.
Hey, football fans, support your Jets on the road as they travel to play their division rival, Miami Dolphins, on November 6th with an official fan travel package from PrimeSport.com, the official fan travel partner of the New York Jets. PrimeSport.com will make all the plays you need for tickets, hospitality, parties, hotels, and more. Nothing beats being there live. Book your Jets travel package against the Dolphins at PrimeSport.com today and get the ultimate game day experience.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. GEICO's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with GEICO, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. More power to you. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Microsoft Surface is the official tablet of the NFL. While NFL coaches and players use Surface Pro 4 this season, fans at home can show their fandom with the same device. Now available, the Surface Special Edition NFL Type Covers. And for a limited time, buy a Surface Pro 4 and any NFL Type Cover and get 15% off NFL Game Pass and a chance to win Super Bowl 51 tickets. Visit surface.com/NFL to learn more. Get your Surface at a Microsoft store or online today. Must be U.S. resident, 18 or older, ends January 1st, 2017. See website for official rules.
Hey, Jet fans, everyone loves to stay connected, but the New Jersey Motor Vehicle Commission would like to remind you that texting or talking while you drive is not only dangerous, it's against the law in New Jersey. It can cost you money, your license, or even someone's life. If you're behind the wheel, please put down the phone and just drive. Get the facts and share your thoughts at justdrive.com. This message brought to you by the New Jersey Motor Vehicle Commission.
Jets fans, does your child have what it takes to be the next Jets Kid Reporter? Submit a video that shows their on-screen skills and you could win an incredible experience at the Atlantic Health Jets Training Center with the chance to film a segment during a special Kids Reporter broadcast presented by Modell's. To enter, go to JetsKidReporter.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Ends October 30th, 2016. Open to legal residents in Connecticut, New Jersey, and New York. Guardians must be 18 or older. For rules and complete details, visit JetsKidReporter.com.
In
Inside the Jets is presented by EY, building a better working world, and by FanDuel. Have all the fantasy that football has to offer. Be sports rich. Now here's Jets insider Eric Allen and your host Larry Hardesty.
Welcome back to Calandra's Italian Village here in Caldwell, New Jersey. Larry Hardesty and Eric Allen. We are live on Inside the Jets. EA, before we take our phone calls at 1-800-919-3776, let's take a sneak peek into the next game for the Jets. They will be on the road again, this time in Miami, as you mentioned. If you're going to be in Miami, when it gets cold, but the weather's great here, but you would like it to be a little colder when you go down to Miami. But Jets face a Miami team that's put some wins together. It's a team that's beat Pittsburgh. It's a team that's got a win over Buffalo in the division. It's the first time the Jets have faced Miami this year. And listen, it's about they have a very good defense that we know. And Ryan Tannehill can make some plays, and they've got a very good running game right now.
You hit the nail on the head. Jay Ajayi. If you don't know the name, you better get to know it, because he's taking the NFL by storm here early. Averaging 6.4 yards a carry. He's got 5 touchdowns. In his last 2 games, he had over 200 yards rushing against both the Buffalo Bills and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now he's going to be facing a Jets defense that just does not let backs get off against them. One of the best units stopping the run in the National Football League. I know last week entering that ball game against Isaiah Crowell, they were ranked number 2 overall. I didn't look at this week's rankings. I would not be surprised if the Jets were actually number 1 in the NFL stopping the run. So, but it's going to start there. This Dolphins team has a tremendous offensive line. They picked up Laremy Tunsil in the draft. Just a great addition for them up front. So this is a little bit of a different look from Miami, because they do like to ground and pound. You mentioned Tannehill. His favorite target, of course, Jarvis Landry. Landry's a tough player. They also like to get the ball down the field to Devontae Parker, Kenny Stills as well. But right now, they are riding on the legs of Jay Ajayi. If the Jets can take him away, they should be okay defensively. Obviously, you got to limit the big plays. On the other side of the football, they have some guys that are going to be active. They're going to try to get after you. Kiko Alonso, a former Buffalo Bills linebacker, is there. They got some guys up front who can get after the quarterback. We know that. So hopefully the Jets can continue with that balanced game we've been seeing from them offensively of late. Getting Matt Forte going on the ground the last couple weeks. We saw Bilal Powell give this team another spark, and that takes some pressure off Ryan Fitzpatrick's shoulders, so you just don't have to rely on the passing game when you go down there against the Dolphins.
Absolutely. Got to be multidimensional.
Yep.
If you're going to win. Let's go to the phones. Let's welcome in Ira in Staten Island. Ira, you're up first on Inside the Jets.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, Ira.
Let's forget about the first half yesterday. I think in the second half they showed what they're capable of doing. Somehow the players and the coaching staff have to figure out a way to do it for 60 minutes. And if they do that, then I think they'll be okay. I tell you, everybody knows about Anunua. To me, I know Buttle and Lyons mentioned it in the post game. To me, the biggest play of the game is when he broke up, that would have been interception to start the second half. It would have been a whole different ball game if that didn't happen. And Bilal Powell, I've been screaming for weeks and weeks and weeks, and I know Forte, I know his career, I get the whole bit. But if you look, at right now of the touches, between catching and running between both of them, Forte's getting 2/3 more touches than Powell's. And I think they got to balance it out. Both are more than 50-50. But just Powell's too good to have him sit on the sideline. And getting to the Dolphin game, you brought up a great point. The Dolphins are definitely a different look. That offensive line was a sieve for the last couple of years. So I think it's going to be a good test. And I'm going to be interested to see what Bowles does. Does he mix it up? Is he going to stick with this 3-4 look that he's given us the last 2 weeks? Or is he going to go back to that four-man front against this offensive line? So to me, it'll be a chess match, and whoever wins the line of scrimmage and doesn't make the mistakes will probably win this game on Sunday.
You're right, Ira. Thanks for the phone call, as always.
He's right.
Thank you. Have a good night.
He's right. The Dolphins' offensive line, they're nasty. They're big. They get after you. They like playing at home. And it's going to be a great challenge for them playing against this Jets defensive line. The Jets are going to have to match them up front, take care of Ajayi. And then on the other side of the ball, I'm looking at Ndamukong Suh, and we know what a force he can be for the Dolphins on the interior. What I've been most encouraged about along that offensive line is the Jets might have one of the better pairs at guard in the National Football League. James Carpenter at left guard and an ever-developing Brian Winters at right guard, who's played tremendous football for the Jets on the interior. Those guys flanked Wesley Johnson yesterday, but those guys are going to have to be up to the challenge this week again against a guy like Ndamukong Suh. And we know the Dolphins like to bring that edge pressure as well, but Sue is the guy you kind of like, you target right there in the middle.
Absolutely. Let's talk to Jimmy in Rockland. You're next on Inside the Jets. What's up, Jim?
Hey, good evening, guys. I haven't spoken in a while. I know different schedules and whatnot. Eric, the one quick thing, and then I got 2 points and a question to ask you guys. I understand Miami likes playing at home, but that stadium, half that crowd will be Jet fans, so some of that will be nullified, especially if the Jets are playing well.
You're right. You're right.
Okay, a couple things for you. I'm not getting disillusioned in any way, shape, or form thinking that this team is going to the playoffs. I know the history, only a couple teams have made it, starting out with the record the Jets have. But I'd like to get to 5-5, guys, just to have relevant games after the bye week slash break, because you know as well as me, guys, there's nothing more miserable than going to football games in the end of November and December where the warm weather's in the witness protection program and sitting there freezing and things are terrible. And I understand the first game out of the break is New England, but just to get to 5-5, and Larry, you know how I've been from speaking to you for years, when that play with Fitzpatrick, when he just really took a vicious hit there, I said to myself, only for a brief second, I reeled myself back in. I went back to thinking about Mo Lewis, who was the MVP of that New England dynasty. I said, imagine if Petty came in here and just played well, and they said, okay, now we're going to stick with Petty. He played well through the rest of this year, and then it's his team next year. He got the experience here and went from there. Maybe if we possibly could have found our franchise quarterback. I just appreciate listening and talking to you guys and just to hear your perspective. I appreciate it.
All right, Jim. Thanks a lot. We got a short amount of time here, so I'll let you go and handle it.
Well, listen, you still might see Bryce Petty. Todd Bowles addressed that a couple weeks ago. He's getting some practice reps now. He came back from the shoulder injury. And, yeah, you might have saw him come in for a snap. Obviously, Fitz had to get looked at after taking that vicious shot. But we'll have to see what transpires over the next couple weeks. If the Jets are 3-7 after the bye, then you got a totally different situation. But if Fitz leads the Jets to a victory here in Miami and then they come back, like the caller mentioned, you beat the Rams at home, all of a sudden you're 5-5. And heck, if you beat New England at home and then you got some winnable games, listen, you got right now, the way the Jets are playing is you have to take them one at a time. Todd Bowles said stack them up, and they do have to stack them up. They've won 2 in a row. They have to play a complete football game. We haven't seen it yet from this ball club. They have to do it this week. Because a lot of people are looking at Miami and saying, well, we've had some success against Miami last year. We hammered them over in London. We beat them here. This team, the Dolphins, has had 2 weeks to prepare for you. They just won 2 games at home against the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Buffalo Bills in rather convincing fashion. This is going to be a tough test. If the Jets can win this victory, though, then they might really be turning a corner. That would be a 3-game winning streak, and all of a sudden you're there 4-5. Remember, the Jets made the run last year after going 5-5.
Yeah, you're right. All right, D.A., nice job as always. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Larry.
All right, that wraps up this edition of Inside the Jets, brought to you by EY. Special thanks to Gerald Downer here, Ray Santiago with the studio. Up next, the Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
They couldn't play football without us. We built this stadium.